Do you know what time it is? The market day is 6.5 hours long, and you need to understand every small increment of that time frame during the course of the entire market day. Each hour and each increment of the market day brings along its own conditions and brings along its own challenges in terms of your ability to successfully trade. Now, beyond the 6.5 hours of the actual market day, you have the pre-market activity, you have the post-market activity, and you have the overnight activity to keep some consideration of. There's a tendency to start the market day really in the morning, but the best place to start it is about 4 o'clock New York time. As the New York markets close, they attempt to close out in some sort of stable state. The last hour usually creates a lot of imbalances, and those imbalances are worked out through program trades. They're worked out through wider spreads. They're worked out for very, very sharp moves or short squeezes. And finally, at 4 o'clock, the market closes for the most part. After hours, you still have the Instanet going on, and you have an hour of the Pacific Stock Exchange. You have overseas American stocks trading overseas, but the masses of U.S. stocks stop trading around 4, you know, and there's not that much going on after that hour. Now, from 4 one afternoon till 9:30 the next morning in New York, an awful lot of things can happen. Imbalances are created by the overnight markets. For many, many months, the Asian markets dictated what happened in the U.S. markets in the morning, but not always. Occasionally, different parts of the world can take precedence based on the fundamentals at that period of time. There are those other times when Mr. Greenspan may be speaking to some congregation in the evening, and that could certainly affect the next morning's market. And, of course, you have the post-market news releases and the post-market earnings releases, as well as the next morning's pre-market earning releases that create further imbalances. So when you wake up in the morning, the conditions that you face might be somewhat different from the conditions you thought you were going to see the night before. One excellent way of keeping track of the market first thing in the morning is to turn on Globex, take a look at CME.com, and find out how the S&P 500's done in the overnight future session. You take a look at that and take a look at the NASDAQ 100, find out if any games have been played, find out what the pressures are in the market. You know, you could sit and watch Mark Haynes talk about fair value, or you could just check out Globex yourself and get some indication as to whether or not it's going to be a buying open or a selling open, or perhaps even a neutral open. Now, your own personal preparation in terms of the opening minutes of the market day really depends on your trading style. If you're not trading the first hour is just a tremendous time to sit back, turn on your television set, and I mean your real-time quoting system if you have one, and just watch the entertainment. You'll get a feel for the imbalances that are overnight that are currently being worked out. You'll get a feel for the trend and counter trend of the market, what kind of buying and selling pressure there is. And you'll also get a very good idea how the rest of the day is going to look. If you're not using this first hour for trading, and again, the only time we recommend using the first and last hours for significant amount of trading, there are reasons to break those rules. If you do have a direct entry system where you could get in under the radar and not get caught in bad fills with discount brokers, then you could exercise strategies during the first and last hours that you really can't exercise with discount brokers during the day, unless you've got a real gem of one who you trust for fast, accurate fills during these volatile times. So if you're not executing a first hour system, you need to watch the push and pull and find out whether it's going to be a bull day or it's going to be a bear day. Generally, in the first 15 minutes, there's a thrust in the market, and then it's followed by a counter trend for 15 or 20 minutes. The tug and pull is part of the process that the insiders use in order to determine the buying and selling pressure within the market. So after the first 30, 40 minutes, they have a pretty good idea as to how many buyers are out there, how many sellers are out there, what kind of volume they're going to see during the day. And then they could start to, as long as no other forces intercede, start to work on developing the daily trend. Generally in the time frame from about 8:05 till 8:20, the testing starts to wind down, and around 8:20, you very often see the emergence of the daily trend. Whatever trend is going to stick around for that day tries to show its little face, tries to exert itself, and tell everybody the first hour is over, and this is what the day is going to look like now that volume is going to start to wind down. Very often, right around 8:20, I'm sorry, I said 8:20, but it's really Denver time. That's from my own personal trading. It's really 10:20 in the Eastern time, and 9:20 in Central. And for your folks out in the West Coast, it's 7:20. but in my world, it's always been 8:20. Right at the end of the first hour is an excellent time to enter your first trade. You have an idea of the direction for the market day right around 8:20 or 9:20 or 10:20 in New York. The games start to wind down. Direction is chosen, and if that direction works with the trade that you're contemplating, very, very likely that action zone and execution trigger going to be very, very close to each other. Price is going to be moving into that action zone just about that time, around 10:30, 10:45, and you may make your first trade right around then. Now, the middle part of the day, and from about 10:30 until about 11:45 in New York, stocks can trend. There's plenty of good opportunities to get in and out of the market. In the middle part of the day, the lunch crowd takes over, and the lunch crowd can be a very, very dangerous place to trade. Quite often, the big boys work the mornings and work the afternoons, and they bring in the second squad during lunch just to shake things up a little bit. Lunchtimes can be extremely undependable. Reversals occurring during lunchtime can be extremely undependable. You have to be very, very careful about trading reversals that occur during lunch because there's a ton of false breakouts to take out, take precedence over this time. One thing that's really good about lunchtime is if there's a strong trend in one direction, there's usually plenty of time to get on board with a good position during the lunch hour in anticipation of a move occurring when the lunch hour is over. As 1 o'clock rolls around in New York City and the big boys start to head back in and the brokerage offices start to get filled up again, the action starts to pick up on trending days. And if you're well positioned, a move that takes place, a move that starts to develop, say 12:15 in New York, may go on as long as 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And you could be part of a very strong trend thrust that takes place during this time. On non-trending days, you don't have quite the predictability. And again, the lunch hour is a very good time to avoid the action if it's not a very strong trend day. Considering that trends take place 15% of the time and ranges take place about 85% of the time, you're only going to get 3 or 4 good strong trending days a month with most of the U.S. markets. Now, during strong bull phases, strong bear phases, this number can go up, and maybe you'll get 7 or 8 trending days during the course of 20 or 21 trading days in a month. But generally, you're only going to see 3, 4, 5 very strong trend days in either direction during the course of a stock market month. The rest of the time, there's going to be a ton of swing action going on during the day. The influence of the market itself on your individual trades will start to drop during this time. Because in a flat market, it becomes a market of stocks rather than a stock market. And in those quiet times, if you're holding a stock or you want to execute a stock that has good technicals, so it's not a course on fundamentals, if you find that you have an execution trigger about to be hit and it's a nice quiet market, you don't have to worry nearly as much about what the market's doing. You could take that opportunity of the quiet market to execute your trade and not worry about getting shaken out or whipsawed because there's strong macro market forces that are moving things around. Now, the afternoon hours start to take on a different appearance right around 2 to 2:30. It really depends on the influence of the bond market at any particular time. In a time of strongly rising or strongly falling interest rates, the stock market tends to key off of the bond market in the last hour of the bond markets open, and they close at 3 p.m. in New York, in order to get its cues to see how the bond market's going to close. This has sort of elicited a phenomenon, which is the 2:30 sell. For some reason, selling pressure appears often out of the blue around 2:30 in the afternoon. Sometimes it can only last a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and sometimes it can start a sell-off that takes you through to the end of the day. A lot depends on the reaction to the 2:30 sell. Quite often, a 2:30 sell that fails leads into a rally in the last hour. And again, the last hour is the time of resolution, and so it's a dangerous time where things have to come back into stable balance. You can work out some very interesting strategies for last hour trading, but you need to be prepared, and you need to have an execution system that's adequate to the volatility.